This is Take Two.
Hello, hello. I know that I usually don't start the conversations like this, and we usually dive right into the topic. But considering that we do talk about quite a serious topic here, I would like to give you all a trigger warning. In saying that though, this is a very, very important discussion. This is the reality that a lot of people face, and censoring that or avoiding the topic for your own comfort is something that I do not recommend. This is the reality, and it's nearly a privilege to listen in on this rather than go through it. So please watch it, listen to it. The timestamps are below if you actually do need to fast forward it though. Take care of yourselves. Thank you again. Goodbye. Be yourself. No, genuinely, it's so sad.
I think a lot of people, like, one thing I've realized is that, let's say from a migrant perspective, having the European accent is really, really important to a lot of people. So they have to, like, you know, twang, you know, like I was saying, you know, they really, really want to have that. So,
oh my God, so guilty, 100%. Like, I remember, so I would have moved to Ireland 5 years ago now. No, 5 years in August it will be.
Right.
So it's been a while. Like, I moved here when I was 21. And I remember, like, being so surprised because obviously, like, white, you know what I mean? I speak English, it's all that, it's all kind of fine. And I was sort of surprised that, like, how even with all of that, I was still being treated differently, you know?
Because you don't have the Irish accent.
I didn't have the Irish accent. And even, like, I would look around and, like, I'd be like, there's brunette Irish people, you know what I mean? Like, I'm no different.
Yeah.
but like, immediately I walk in, I'm like, where are you from? And I was like, oh, I don't, you know what I mean? Because I come from such a small country that's, like, it's unknown, even though it's in Europe. It's Malta. So it's, like, below Italy, above Africa. It's in the Mediterranean. It's above Libya. So I always had this thing that the moment that I say where I'm from, they're like, I don't know what it is. What language do you speak? You have really good English. You know, it kept on going. I was like, I don't want to talk to you about this. Just give me my fucking coffee and let's go. So it was really strange. And, like, I also was, in fairness, I'm not trying to beat myself up over it, but also I was 21. So, like, my brain was still developing as well. But I noticed my I was adapting the way I spoke to not even hide the foreignness to me. But I was getting slightly teased sometimes of, like, if I said a word, they'd make fun of it. So I would change my pronunciation. So that I avoid it. Where, like, now fast forward, like, 5 years and people are saying, like, oh, like, we're hearing the Irish, you know, like, we're hearing that accent, but there's something else.
Yeah.
There's something else there. And I was like, I'm never, like, it's so sad.
It's not, it's never going to go away. Because if you come here when you're older, above 20, it's really hard to lose your accent completely unless you're faking it. Honestly.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. You know those people that they go to a country or, like, a
2 days later and they come like, oh my God, you
oh
know,
my God.
Are you crazy?
You're like, no, fuck off. You know, or those people, it's the worst when you see the people with, like, when they go to England and they,
oh, they come back with their UK accent.
Oh my God. That one is different, huh? Because fully, like, to pronounce, like, a word in an English accent, you have to, like, try.
Really?
Like, you have to, like, drop it down.
Block your nose or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You need to, like, skip the R's. Like, at least in Irish or, like, over here speaking in English, like, you pronounce all the consonants. That's fine.
Yeah,
we're happy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The but UK one is completely different.
It's like, so different. It's nice. But it's so different. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, like, being a foreigner is, like, interesting. And we are going to touch on that. Because I got some lovely messages, huh?
All right.
Whenever I fucking try. So I can only imagine what you, like, go through. But in terms of, like, I feel like, let's go from the start. But let's start from the ass of the story, if that makes sense.
You're right.
Because you recently got your visa.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, congrats, first of all.
Thank you.
But I saw it on your story that, like, it's every country except for Kenya, right?
Yeah. So when you're given a refugee status, you are, you have, like, basically all, like, that country's rights except your country.
Wow.
Yeah. So you can never go back.
And what's the, like, obviously refugee status, because they're protecting you from what will happen if you go back to your country, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
But whenever I see you, like, speak about the country, you always speak about it in a good light. Like, it's not like you fucking hate the country, correct?
Like, every country has good sides and bad sides.
Pros and cons.
Right? Yeah. And for me, when I talk about my country, I show people both the bad and the good. Mm. Like, if my Irish friends ask me, like, where are the good places to go to? Like, I want to go to your country so bad. And I'm like, if you go to the capital, they will rip you off. So stay away from there,
yeah.
You know? Awareness, right?
Exactly.
But then I'd share some good points. Like, if you go to these places, they are genuinely good. Mm. They might meet you at the airport and be like, do you want to go home with me? And you'll be like, who does that, you know?
Yeah.
They're just generally nice enough to want to spend time with you and share your culture and learn everything there is to know, yeah. You know? But, like, I can't say that, okay, I'm a refugee. I was running from something, you know, exactly. My life being in danger and all. But then there were good people back there that made me feel like home. Mm. So I can't just say that it was all bad. No, there were good people. So when I share that, I'm just like, they made my life amazing.
Like, there's a reason why you're here and not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As much as I'm here.
Exactly.
I also miss those people who made me feel like home.
Exactly.
So most times when I talk about home like that in a positive way, people are like, why can't you just go back then?
Mm.
But then these were few people. And that is like a third world country. Mm. You know, even as much as somebody might want to support you, you can't supporting a fully grown adult that. It's just hard, you know, it's just hard taking that extra mouth to come to your house and you have your own bills and things to sort out, you know. And this person's sexuality makes their life so hard. Like in workplaces, if you're snitched at, that's how you lose your job, you mm-hmm. know. So you're constantly trying, it's like you're constantly trying to protect this person who's always going to be even a threat to you. Because if they find out that you're harboring somebody who's homosexual, your life also is in danger because
mm-hmm.
it's indoctrinated by religion and then the traditions. So you saying that, okay, I accept you, come to my house, your neighbors are likely to tell you that, okay, you know what? So you are accepting these people, yeah? Go together with them. You are also in danger. They might burn your house, mess you up, and that's just selfish. So you just be like, okay, I get you support me, but for your own good, I will move.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, I love you, but I also love my children. I also love
mm-hmm. yeah.
myself enough to know that, like, listen, I can't keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? I feel like there's this recognition of the safety and, like, the overall discussion where mm-hmm. it's tough because not one person, not one protest is going to change an
everything.
Entire country.
Yeah. But especially if it's so rooted in tradition. It's just
so tough.
Human beings are so slow to adapt to things that they don't understand. You can't just tell them, look, accept me. No, it will take years.
And also, it's this thing that I feel like the West and white people, majority white, but I feel like Americans, Europeans, whatever, it's like, oh yeah, let's go there or let's protest on their behalf
mm-hmm.
and we are going to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. People in the World Cup going over to Qatar, like with the LGBT flags
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff. It's like, okay, cool. You are not going to change a country,
no,
though. The change is going to come from within
mm-hmm.
it.
And they need time.
And they need time. And it's going to be fucking scary to
mm-hmm.
watch from an outside perspective.
Yeah.
But I remember getting into this debate because then someone was like, but why can't sport unite the world? Or why can't people change the World Cup? And it's like, off.
It's never that simple.
Literally, like, get your head out of your ass in this situation.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to come from within it. And sometimes it's also just that lack of education of LGBT history within your own country.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
yeah.
I am guilty of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that much about LGBT history. It's like not that good.
But we have, like, in my country, we have this, before colonization, there used to be like same-sex couples, but like in terms of if you are barren,
mm-hmm.
if you couldn't have kids, then you were forced to marry a woman because you're useless to the society.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So that's the only... it's messed up. It's Jesus fucked Christ. Up completely. So that's the only history we've got. But if you go down, there are certain villages that women just alienated themselves from the whole world, built their own little community, and they live there. So that's the only; those are the only areas you're likely to find the lesbians, you know, yeah. who just went there that, you know, maybe I'm being targeted, so I'm coming here to this safe community. But they're hiding from that sexuality. So now at least they're speaking out that I'm 60, I've never dated, but I've felt specific way towards 1, 2, 3 people, but I couldn't just express it. So it's now that it's coming out in the open when you go to these little communities that are never even spoken about.
Crazy. No, that's unreal.
It's mad.
Now, I'd love to ask you this question, but the way that Africa, let's like, of course, talk about Kenya, but the way that a lot of these countries are like shared to the West and to us is that like it's fucking in bits all the time.
In journalism, I'd say you sell news depending on the market demand. If I were to just go there and show the capital city and the good things about it, it will be same as Europe. Yeah. So it will be boring. But if I saw some starving kid with mucus coming and like really people like that, oh my God, that's where you came from, you know, it creates these different political views and these whole rumors going around. And before you know it, you're like, how did you go to Europe? You guys do not have planes at all. You guys came through the port. Fully. That's all we know, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all about marketing.
Yeah. And I think it's that like lack of recognition where sometimes it's like a media literacy nearly of just like understanding this constant sharing and this feed of me is not everything. You know what I mean? It's nearly to a point where you're like, oh, you come from Africa? Where?
Yeah.
Like, what village, you know what I mean?
Funny enough, you know, relocating to the Western world, right? Like, I find it funny. Like, those things don't face me. Like, yeah. I find it really, really funny. Because sometimes somebody sees you as a black person and you think, oh, depending on what you wear. Because if I were to wear the bling, chains and all... I'll fall in the category of a gangster, right? So somebody's going to see me like, oh my God, she's going to steal from me.
And I'm
like,
you
watch a lot of American movies. Like, that is because in Africa, they're not going to. In Africa, actually, the thieves will be like, hey, Shuri, you know, they'll hit on you. They'll be very, very sweet. They'll entice you that you won't even know they're stealing from you. Wow. Then they'll be like, give me your phone. I'm hustling. I'm doing my business. My kids have to eat, you know? It's so smooth that you won't even know somebody's stealing from you. But then the Western image of a gangster, you know? You're black, obviously. Yo, come here. Like, Americans do it with the gun. We can't even get... We don't even... Like,
no.
It's hard to get guns.
Yeah. Like we're just really good salesmen that are using
it's the mouth that will entice you to give out everything you've got. Like,
oh,
you know?
100%. It's just like fully like, come here, bracelet, you know? And all that, you're like, we are getting a free bracelet. And it's like, 10 euro? You're like, shit, I fell for it. But now, talking about that... I'd love for you to share, if you don't mind, because I know it's like a tough one. But when I was doing my research on you, you had a very, like, reading your story gave me goosebumps. Like, it was so scary, like with the 13-year-old girl and like your first queer experience.
Right.
Now, how do I say this like properly, right? Because it's like, I filmed a little intro before you came. And it's tough because trigger warning for everyone. But then also it's like, this is your reality. And this is something that other people are facing.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I don't want you to like censor yourself or like care about other people's feelings. Because I think sometimes we like censor our own stories for the sake of not scaring people off or not offending anyone.
Right.
If you want to talk about it.
I think I've healed much from it.
Okay.
So, I do think that, like, I do say, if not for my sexuality, I'll just be like, cool, you know? But, like,
wow.
I've gone through all kinds of correctional, whatever, I've gone through, what's the English word for it?
Oh, is it when they try to change you from being gay to straight? Yeah. Fucking conversion.
Conversion therapy.
Thank you, Karina.
They've tried to make me go to church, get baptized, receive my whole communion. I've gone to military, all those shock therapies and stuff like that. And when I was in the military, I'm one person who takes every situation positive. I guess it's because of that whole one child privilege where I don't have to prove myself to anybody.
Fair enough.
But then I'll show you that I might do this, but I'll still be me.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take me to some shock therapy, hit me up. And from that, I do tell people, I ended up liking BDSM and they think I'm crazy.
And you have to say that.
I literally just said it.
Conversion shock therapy got you into BDSM.
Because for some reasons, at first it was like, I'm done with the world. But then I was like, I need to exist. So if I have to enjoy this shit, I'm going all through.
That is a way to stop conversion therapy for you. Tell them it made you gayer.
Right.
Carry on. I love that.
Church, I went, got baptized, all that. I was the altar girl. I was sipping that wine. If I'm taking it back, I'm sipping it first, you know? So first. I was just like, I am not going to let you kill me slowly. No, I don't. You don't. You're not too important for me to give you that right. So I'm doing me. But I'll go through all that to show that no matter what you do to me, I'm just me. So take it or leave it, you know. So they understood that. So whenever I share these stories, most times I get negative responses. Oh, you're just seeking attention. And this is coming from people with maybe more privilege. They didn't have to go through that, which is fine. But then I have to speak up to let people know that some are going through way worse and keeping quiet. Because most African LGBTI people, we are mostly raised to take stuff in. Just keep it in. And that's why most people, even when we relocate to the West, it's hard to connect with us. We keep the stuff in. You can see it in our faces. You look at somebody like, this is an angry black woman. No, it's not angry. That is pain right there. And most when they start to speak up, it comes out you might think you're likely to be shot because the way you've never been told to express yourself calmly. So you're going to go, and this is mental breakdown right here. Let's just shoot the nigga off and, you know, silence them. They're not used to how we express ourselves. Because we are taught not to. If somebody asks you something, you're good. If somebody's coming to see you all dressed nice, dressed the best Christmas dresses, you know, say we are good. You don't share. So few of us that get to share, still the communities like you're selling us out. We are not supposed to be brave. You should be the brave black woman. No. Don't make me the brave black woman. I'm brave in circumstances that force me to be, but I crack when I'm on my own. But what if I share that pain so that it can lessen, you know? So I think with my story, a lot of people, as much as it was negative, I met few positive people who were like, man, you're brave for this, you know? And most people shared. In my DMs, I wake up to maybe 50 to 100 messages, different experiences, you know? They're just sharing a whole text. And I'm like, I can't keep up. This is a huge novel. I can't even buy a book because I'm going to find a book every day in my thing, you know?
I ask you, do you read? And you're like, yes, my DM.
I read in my DM.
You have a memoir every day.
I know. It's crazy. But it's just people need to talk more.
They do.
They really do.
You're probably the first person that I saw actively share about the actual reality and the details. Mm-hmm. So from Malta, we get a lot of refugees. I'm very familiar to the leave Africa via the boat and the trauma that goes at sea. That's horrible.
Like, most black people cannot even swim. Like, how do you end up in a boat? Like, without...
Fully. And it's... I still need to find the perfect person to talk about with it, because no one really talks about the reality at sea. So, like, we are... I am educated as much, like, without actually going on a boat and traveling to sea. I am quite educated on that topic, right? But you're the first person that talking about it, like, via the plane situation and, like, the visa and the interviews and proving all of that kind of stuff and, like, the reality of it. And it's like, no, talk about it more. Not you. I wish that there are more people that, are talking about it with you, because I feel like it will shut soft racists up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I also know that it's not your... It's going to sound bad, but it's not your responsibility, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. But you have so much trauma that it's like, fuck me, Deb, am I going to be like a therapist every single day? Just like share all my, like, do you want me to take a photo of the, like the turd that I left in the toilet as well? Because it's you.
Yeah.
And like, you have every right to, everyone has every right to choose what they share. But it's like, sharing sometimes will help.
I do think that
it's
like
a circle.
I do think that, like, most times it's really exhausting educating people on their lives. Like, if somebody like, let's say for example, my workplace, right? I have this guy that constantly asks me about Africa, which is great. I'm always willing to share, like, not the entire continent Africa, but the places I've been in, right? But the thing is, as much as I share good moments, each day, every day, he comes to me like, so I went through Google and I saw that there was a terrorist, whatever that happened in 5 years ago. There was some cults going on. It's always negative, you know? And I'm like, so Google just decides that you specifically, they only want to show you negative things about Africa, yeah? Like, you open your phone and it's all negative. Like, you don't want to Google about the good parts. Because I'm thinking, if I come to Ireland, I won't ask how many murderers are in Ireland? How many rapists are there? I'm thinking, what's the best place to visit in Ireland? Like, I'm focusing on the good things.
Top 10 things to do
in Ireland, you know?
That's all you have to Google, and you have it there.
Yeah, but with us, as much as we try to open up, people keep asking the negative. Even like, oh, you have so many ghettos. Do you guys eat? How did you get it? You look so good. Your English is so perfect. You seem so educated. Like, we've got all these things back home. Where do you think we come from?
We were colonized.
You actually have plates? I thought you eat in leaves. Like, literally. Which century is that?
That's it. That's it.
It pisses somebody off that you just end up shutting up. You can't. Because some people have already instilled ideology of how Africans should look like, that no matter what you say, they're stuck to that ideology that they were taught before.
But that's a choice.
It's a choice.
On their behalf.
So imagine you're trying to help these people evolve or understand reasons as to why you do certain things. And they're expected to, like, have you, like, you can't live harmoniously if you see me as a terrorist or a gangster. You can't. You'll always make my life harder, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not right. Everybody is different. I get some people fake everything. I mean, we really have to talk about that. Some people take advantage completely, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
And they get mad when we say some things like that, you know? Because sometimes, as much as I get DMs, I also get the negative DMs like, oh, you got your papers. You've been really, really, you know, open, and you share all these things about LGBTQ. But look, we're from the same country, but I'm straight. But teach me how to act gay so that I get my papers. And I'm just like, I have principles. I get we are coming from a tough country, but I know some gay person needs it more than you guys. Yeah. But here are some of the 1, 2, 3 things that straight people do that they help them get there.
Yeah.
But please, I will not do that. So whenever you say, no, I can't, again, you're the enemy. So you're like, you're this person being thrown around, you're trying to do the good here, but then people are taking advantage of that, you know?
Always. And they're always going to be there, and you're always going to be the problem.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
No matter, I think especially as a woman, especially as someone who is passionate or like somewhat strong, that you're showing that strength and mm-hmm. that you're not submissive.
Oh, people hate that.
They hate it so much mm-hmm. where they feel like it's a threat to them. The moment that you are not helping them out,
mm-hmm.
you're the problem.
You are the problem.
And it's impressive to see how much they will go out of their way
mm-hmm.
to still make you the problem. It's like, mate, all this fucking time, you could have actually helped yourself.
But
you know what I mean? But no. You know, but that's a choice. Like, again, it's a choice. And it's like, it's one of those things that I'm starting to learn as I go into I keep progressing into adulthood, which mm-hmm. is, these people are going to follow you around.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's going to sound cocky, but like, there's a point in time where I'm like, you know what? The fact that I'm not in their body.
Yeah.
And not have their brain, like, I feel happy that I have this, you mm-hmm. know, that I have this.
Yeah.
Because fuck me, I don't want to have a life that they have, huh?
No.
No. Like, that's it.
All that pretense, all that, nah.
I don't understand it. I don't understand how they wake up every day and go like, you know whose life I'm going to fuck with?
This person.
that person. You're my
And you don't understand the experiences of these people.
No.
You know? Because unlike straight people, let's say from Africa, mm-hmm. most, even if you come here through student and your student visa and your visa expires and you have to go home and some people want to stay here, and you ask these older Africans that were here 20, 25 years ago, like, what can I do, you know? And they're going to tell you, marry a white person. They're not going to tell you, like, okay, you can seek asylum if your case is legit, you know, honestly, if you need it. Or this other, it's the first thing is always get pregnant or marry a white person. But then as somebody who was in an arranged marriage with a white person, that's the least thing that I would ever advise somebody.
Yeah, you got really lucky.
With
the person, you know?
Like. I was lucky and not lucky.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Let's dive into it.
Actually, I've never spoke about it this much because I was told not to talk about it.
Okay.
But then why not?
Okay.
You know, there are things you just have to share.
Yes.
You know? And so we met home, right? And this was, I had just finished high school.
So you were 18?
Yeah.
Okay.
17, I had 2 months left before I turned 18. So I came home and then my family were like, you have to marry this person for their political careers, whatever, and not for me not to taint the family name. I mean, I barely had a father. I had to take my grandfather's last name. My biological father had to, you know, end his life because he could not just fathom having me.
Wow.
So having my grandfather's name, I knew what the responsibility that comes with that. Already, I am an outsider. But he loved me like I was his, like he raised me nice. Like I'm glad I was raised by my grandparents because I was lucky.
Yes.
You know? So growing up and just being me, it affected a lot of, you know, now the real daughters and sons of Ojas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to a point, I had to repress everything so much that by the time I was in my final year in primary school, when the incident happened, you know? That was a major blow.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma helped me escape, go to the city, stayed there for like a few months before I started high school, boarding school, Catholic. Again, with that whole, had to be like the whole indoctrination, you have to go through baptism, all the nuns, whenever everybody will close school, go back to their homes, I'd remain in the convent, you know, to, you know, wash myself or whatever.
Can we talk about the incident for people that don't know or don't know your story?
So in my final year of high school, this girl, the quietest in our class, decided just to express her feelings and kissed me. And, you know, being that it was the village, like it's hard. It's easier in the city to just at least be something different. People just see you and be like, you know, these city girls. But like in the village, there's always that too much pressure of you just have to follow this tradition to the core, you know. So this and all the classmates gathering around and looking at us, we had just finished our last KCPE, Kenya National Primary Exams. So that was the last paper. So after the last paper, usually you're like taking group pictures, you're bidding each other goodbye, you know, whatever, the last moments before.
How old were you?
That was 13.
13, okay.
Yeah. So she kissed me and I was like, I froze. Because, okay, I liked few of the classmates. I had a crush, but like I never act on my feelings. I'm one laid back person. I might have a thing for you, but I'll never express it ever.
And did you know that it was like a queer crush, or were you like, oh, I really like you, but I don't know what this feeling is? Because you're 13.
I never went all in to know, like to
explore it.
How intense it was. I'll just see if some of the girls are like, oh, she's cute, you know, like, you know, something like that. But when she kissed me, like I had so many, like a mixture of emotions. Like, okay, first of all, you are the last person I expected to kiss me.
Yeah.
Second of all, how dare you do that? Like, do you see all these people? Do you realize where we are? Do you realize the consequences? Because I'm one person who thinks more of the results of something rather than just getting lost in the moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair.
So that I just froze in her mouth. And she's like, okay, what should we do? Should I die now? Because we should be dying right now. People are coming, we should be dying. But, you know? Yeah. I didn't think of, okay, let me feel the intensity of this kiss. No. We are going to die, all right?
Like the alarm bells went off rather than other ones.
Yeah. And before we know, and like 3 weeks before that, there's this guy, Andrew, came to me because, you know, from sixth grade, seventh grade, people start having, you know, romantic relationships and all that. So he had come to me like, oh, you know, you should be my girlfriend, whatever. And I was just like, dude, trust you me, my mind is not there, you know. So he was the first one to actually punch the girl.
Wow.
The whole male dominance, jealousy for some reason. And, you know, when in primary school, people like sheep. I do say people like sheep. You start something, everybody just follows. Like, where's your mind at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for me, I was just, like, I don't get how I was. One thing, because I guess living around my neighbors, I had a lot of people who are very violent. So each time I'd come from school and like they'd be like fighting a lot, screaming. So whenever I'm in a space where people start being violent, I just freeze. Like, I can't move. I can't do anything. I just freeze.
Yeah.
You know? So at that moment, I just froze. And I was like, I'm trying to, like, come back to reality and do something. But it's stuck. So I just stood there, watched them beat her to death. Yeah. So in my mind, I was just like, when everything was slowly coming back, I was just like, okay, somebody's dead. Probably I'm next. But why are they not touching me? But I guess because my uncle was like very, it was like the head of the school committee, and he'd contribute a lot. So maybe in their heads, if they did something to me, there'd be more trouble.
Because the uncle will want revenge.
Yeah, and, I think so.
We don't want to touch like that family.
Yeah, so... But that, like, gave me so much guilt for a long period of time. Because just, like, it was supposed to be me.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't initiate it. Because, like, my second relationship in high school, after finishing high school and then waiting a year before joining college, still, I had this nearly the same incident. But like different, as in the girl I was into, somewhat the family members found out, read our text, whatever. And like they had to come to my mom's house and like, there's your child is forcing my child in, you know. Yeah. And usually I take blames for everything for some reason because again, the whole one child privilege, I know they won't end kill me, whatever. You know, I'm just one child. My mom won't kill me.
Yeah.
She needs an a successor or whatever. So no matter what, they might take me to whatever facilities, but still it won't lead to my death. Mm. So if I take the blame, then the other person will be safe.
Can I ask you a question before we keep going? Mm-hmm. Is death a casual, of course it's like super extreme and it's like life ending, you know? Mm-hmm. But is death just happening around like more often than we're accustomed to over here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we come from a space where a lot of people are very repressed.
Mm.
And when they release that anger, they don't know when to stop. If they're beating you up, most don't know when to stop. Like, this person is not breathing.
Yeah.
Even with thieves, you might see if people are gagging over somebody, they're going to take the whole tiles. Somebody's spilling the petrol on you. Before you know it, you're on fire, you're gone.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's, they don't know when to stop.
Yeah.
You know, when to realize that I'm actually taking a life.
Okay. Wow. That's so, but then it's also like interesting from like you explaining this, because then it's like, because you're the only child, they also understand life and they value life, mm-hmm. that they're not going to take that one kid away.
They mostly fear people who have a bit of power or money.
Okay.
Because most people who have power or money, nothing happens. You can do whatever, but like they're mostly the ones using this power and whatever to oppress the people who don't have it. Because unlike Europe, I mean, we have air codes, we have everything is registered. You can easily be found, you know. Home, you just decide, I'm going to build my house in some jungle and without registering the address.
Yeah, over here, literally, if you know those log cabins, mm-hmm. you know, the nice ones.
Yeah.
You need planning permission for that. It's like, if I buy land, why can't I fucking put a Lego block on mm-hmm. a fucking place?
I know. Everything is just on the internet. Like, it's everywhere.
It's there, yeah.
Home, you can just decide, you know what, I'm disappearing. Nobody's going to find you. Like, even if you were to visit me when I'm staying there, and I'm like, if you get off the bus, stand there, I'll come myself and pick you up.
Yeah.
If I give you directions, you're gone.
Yeah.
I might never.
Okay. Anyways, all right, fair enough. Sorry, we leewayed, but yeah. Okay, so the incident happened. Your mom, you were texting this girl a few years later, mm-hmm. and they came knocking on your parents' door.
On my parents. Oh, no. Before they came, she was just like, you know, look, my family members found out and they're like freaking out. And they're like, it's either I bring them to your place so that we break up, or they'll never pay my school fee. I would never go to the to university, you know. And I was just like, that would be mean of me. Yeah. Fine, bring them home. So that day, I had just gone to play football. We had tournaments. I was so big in football back then. I really loved football. So I came back around 7 p.m. I already found them there. My mom was home. I know she's more shy. Like, my mom is very quiet, shy and all that. If she wants to speak to me, because I'm the only vocal person in the family. If something is wrong, I tell you, no, you know? So most fear, like, coming to me directly, they'll go to either the person I'm dating, my best friend, and be like, talk to her so that, you know? Okay. So they had to go to my favorite aunt to talk to her.
My favorite one.
Yeah. To talk to her and tell her and invite her over. So she also brought my uncle to sit, you know. So like the brothers and the sisters were like, oh, you know, we found these messages and we feel like your daughter is you know, diverting our sister to a different kind of direction, which is, you know, a taboo to the African culture and all that. So I was just like, okay, sorry. I mean, we were dating for 4 years in high school. And then finish high school, fifth year after high school, waiting for the results. Like, if it's forcing, really, we could have stopped it in high school when we finished our exams and went through, like, are you mad? You know? Either way, I just had to be like, okay, sorry, you know, I couldn't stop myself, whatever, all that, whatever people want to hear, so that she can get her education.
Mm-hmm.
But then after she went to university, she got a different number. I mean, young people know how to get stuff if you want things done, you know.
Education helps.
So I guess, like, it's just more of a, I do say you go to Rome, mm-hmm. understand how Romans work, mm-hmm. adapt to it, and get your shit done. So you want me to say this, I'll never be queer, whatever. I'll never even breathe air near your sister, you know. I'll,
yeah,
but she'll have a good life, better future, go get her education and all that. We'll do our things on the side. Just keep it low key.
She's still gay, by the way. But it's so fucking petrifying.
Yeah, I know, because a lot of LGBT people in Kenya, like, mm-hmm. you have to have a toy boy. So this is like your straight, your top, the tops gays, right?
Yeah.
That acts as your man when you're around your family members.
Not gay. Look,
I have a boyfriend.
Look at him.
And he'd come to, on weekends, they come home. Oh, hi, babe. Hi. You're hugging each other. Like, I want to take you.
He's so handsome.
Yeah, you know, you're playing the part. So we are raised to play the part more, you know, so much that when I was explaining my refugee status and during the interview, and they're like, most, you don't look gay. You don't, you're supposed to be the whole Westerner, dye your hair rainbow, you know, gold. I'm gay, mom.
Is your bracelets? Where's the piercings?
Yeah.
You need half your head shaved.
Tattoos all over.
You know, exactly.
You won't last a day in Africa with all that. You have to just...
And it's so silly. It's, strangely enough, it's like, I was about to ask you this, but like, let's talk about it now. Mm-hmm. But I read that article where you were explaining that, like, is their understanding of being gay so fucking limited to just the way you look? Like,
so
seriously?
Usually when you're at the when you're with the person asking you all these questions in the interview room, right? And you'll be asked how many times you've slept with women.
Because virgins don't exist, but anyways.
I can't like women and just decide not to date.
Yeah,
I mean, you can choose to be single for the rest of your life. You don't have to always date, you know. You have to submit pictures of you in different, various gay clubs with, you know, the actual gay, visible gay, you know, the whole...
Oh, my God. Here's me at the...
But, you know, like,
I don't even go to the pride parade, you know, like, as in, I'm the worst. But anyways.
It's just so degrading. And then how many girlfriends you've had, like, so many things. And you just, like, you do realize, if I'm to do all these things back home, I would reach Europe in, like, maybe just from my waist upwards. Like, everything will be tortured out.
That's it. And is it run by, not even run by, but are these interview, like, is there, would you know if there's someone, like, culturally in there like, no.
There is no diversity there.
No.
Most people are very straight. All right?
Yes.
Most of your interviewers are completely overly straight. And they don't understand the diversity. Like, I'm thinking about if an LGBTQ person from Afghanistan or Muslim dominated country, there's a way you're going to, you won't just dye your hair and be a girl,
yes,
you know?
Exactly.
So if they could pair people with various diverse, but that would even be a solution, because most people are very, the people they put there are straight. So they already have their own fraction of how a gay person should look like, you know. It's hard to get your papers, because they'll tell you, their reasoning is, if you dress like any other straight girl, then you're not really in danger. You can just mix.
Like, that's the thing, because when you told me that, I was like, when they ask them, how many girlfriends did you have, or boyfriends, whatever, you would hope for the response to be zero. That's nothing super scary has happened, because you would hope that it's zero, because, like, it's not supposed to happen over there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, to them, you have to have like plenty, like a hole. Passe. Yeah. You just,
and it's like they think they, it's nearly under the impression that they, like, they're going about it where gay is not a choice, but technically it is, because if you have long hair, then it is, which is so strange. Because for me, growing up and all that, like, I had such, I was so held back within the queer community and representation that I thought that lesbians were just the ones with short hair that looked like boys. And I was like, of course I'm not like that because I don't want to be like that. It only came about when like Pretty Little Liars came along where there were two girls with long hair. And I was like, wait a second.
So there could be long hair too.
You can be gay with long hair. That was it for me.
It's really, because when it comes to queer representation in media, we was very limited. Even up to now, we really struggle with that. Because let's say in most African countries, most watch this American series whatsoever, right? And most want that black representation, so like look up to young, you come out and you see her and you want to be this thuggish person so much that if you're not from the ghetto of the rough side, you're fucked.
Fucking hell.
Like, you if imagine? You can't be solved.
Fully.
If you're seen crying, you're like, what the fuck, bro, man? You should be a fam. Like, what are you
like,
doing?
Like, you're genuinely just like, I raised you. Like, I took you to private school and you're looking like you're straight up out of the fucking street.
You know? Like, not all come from the right rough side. Like, I don't have the bones to be like, ay, oh, come here. Like, no.
Where's your dangly chain? With, like, God knows what logo. But anyway, I love this conversation. I'm having so much fun, by the way. Let's go back to the arranged marriage, because we were talking about how you were lucky and unlucky.
Yeah. So I'd say this person, I explained to them that, look, I like women, honestly. And there was some part when he was like, but you've never tried it with men.
Yeah, you don't know.
So you don't know. But I'm like, you, okay.
Have
if
you
I am to try
dick?
That, if I'm to sacrifice one of my nights to try that with men, you're also going with men.
That's what I'm
like,
no.
Say. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm a man, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a woman too.
Go and shove it up your ass and then we'll start shopping. We're
you
on
know?
Even ground.
You know,
yeah.
So I was like, I'm a woman too, and I know what I want. You know what you want? I know what I want. So you, if we are easy. Going to try any experiment,
both
it's
holes 50, are getting 50, fucked.
And like, no. So it never happened, which is good, you know?
I love this.
So he understood my situation, and I was like, look, even if you want women, I will help you get whatever you want. But just not me.
Yeah.
Kill anything that you might have with me, because it's not going to happen.
Okay.
And then he was like, what? You know, the male ego, what are you gonna do? That was the ups of it. I'm like, I get I'm tiny, but you know, tiny dogs really bite hard, you know.
I will fight you.
I will end you.
Like, it won't
like,
be fun.
I really just went through all this military, electro shock, everything. I learned to love pain, which I shouldn't, but honestly, it just got me there. In the military, I'd train like any other person. So I'm trained. I can fight like professionally.
Mm.
So if I'm to end you, if I'm to fight you, it will be, you know, on a very professional level where I know if I hit this, you're going to end. You're not going to breathe next day, you know?
And that resilience to you as well, where you're like, but I think there comes a point where I don't care if I die. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like, reached that point. Like, you know what? I even told myself like, I can't be a psychopath.
Yes. Mm.
But yet I just choose to just be hurt. Like, I don't do anything.
Because
first of all, I don't like violence. I grew up in that I never, it makes me numb.
Yes.
But I am trained, so I can't hurt you like so bad.
Yeah.
But still, you don't see that. You still bring me the old macho-ness. Uh-huh. Please, don't play with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this was a transaction where he got, he demanded whatever he wanted out of this marriage, because he was like, he's not giving me the pussy. So I should gain something too. So he was given acres of land.
Wow.
You know, sold this 3 weeks. It's like, you've been given everything you wanted here. it's time for you to take me to a safe place.
Okay.
So he was supposed to get me here and then stay through everything, start a job, and then do whatever he wants to do with his life. While I've sought legal ways to actually get my papers, like, you know. So when we came here, after like 3 months, at that time we were living in Tillstown, he started taking me out in Blanche. I remember the first time he took me to Blanche and in Penny's. And I was like, you know, I've always wanted to buy these Adidas tracksuits. It's just something to do with my childhood. I just always loved them. You know, I see sports people and like, I want the authentic one, the real one. And he was like, no, there's no Adidas shops in Ireland or any other. And I was like, can we look for it online or something like that? Like he was in his head, he had this whole Africans, since we are from poor countries, we can't overdream to have certain thing. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes when you're like, look, I get where I came from. We don't have a lot of shops like Nike, whatever. So most people create their whole fake ones.
Yeah. The Alibaba.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that we don't want the actual thing. It's just the feeling, the feel of it.
Yes.
And if you're working, there's sometimes you want to buy things to make you just feel like, I can't believe I worked for this, you know? But he'd just tell me like, you're African. You're supposed to be cheap. Be humble. Like, I'm not. You came to where I wasn't humble in the first place.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So we started having these arguments. And then I was just like, okay, you don't have to go with me places. So I'll just make friends. So most friends he'd bring home were his Croatian friends, which would ask me very degrading question. Do you ever have Christmas in Africa? Do you have Easter in Africa? Like, no, by the time it reaches Africa, it just expires. Do you have rain in Africa? Do you have water? Like, no, by the time it gets to Africa, it's just dry. Like, nah.
Like, basically expect the Lion King. Yeah. Timon and Pumbaa.
Sometimes you're just too tired to just explain all that. Like, you can find that on Google. Like, why not choose to Google that? You have phones, you know? So anyway, I started going out alone. Whenever I'm off work, Fridays, Saturdays, Sundays, I'd just walk, you know, and
were try. Were you living in those like refugee houses?
No, because when I came, I was on. I was given, because we were married.
Okay.
I was given the stamp for EU family.
EU family. Okay.
Yeah. So
you came like not legally, because it's like irregular or regularly, but you came like via your passport, via plane.
Yeah,
like it was
via marriage. So I was good to just start work. After 6 months, they gave me the work permit and everything.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just came here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So after I found job, whatever, and I started like finding my own routes, like going out alone. I met this Nigerians. I remember this time I met this Nigerians in Blanche. I went to buy McDonald's. Buggers, and then they were like, oh, hi sister, you know how chatty they can be. Oh, hi, where are you from? Kenya. How long have you been here, you know, all that. And like, oh, I'm new, I don't even have friends. So, you know, they showed me around, showed me different shopping centers, you know.
There's more than just Penny.
There was, imagine that. So anyway, they'd come often to my house. So because I was the only black person there in the house. And most times, like, and then I'd just cook African foods because you can't just adjust like that.
Oh, no.
No, it takes a while.
Yeah. We'll talk about that.
So anyway, there's a time after a month of knowing them, it was my birthday. And I was like, you know what? I'm having a house, because the guy was like, you must celebrate your birthday. I never celebrated my birthdays. I'll just wake up and buy myself maybe a little cake or soda and drink and just, you're alive, you know? So this was the first time I was trying to have like a huge thing, and I didn't want to just have his white friends. Honestly, it was much, there's a lot to adjust to, you know?
Yes.
I was like, I'd feel better or safer, because even if I play the Afro beats, these people don't like that. So we'll play your music, which I'm not ready to listen to yet.
Are you not ready to listen to Taylor Swift? Like,
I do feel she's crazy. If I listen to a song, I'm like, I'm going to chop your head. So, like, I don't
I tried listening to her last album, and like, it's genuinely like a 5-year-old wrote the lyrics. It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me, at tea time. I'm like, you've... Okay, anyways, now that's going to get me some hate. So we're both in. You'll be sent back to your country. I'll be told to get some music taste. But anyways, carry on.
Anyway, so they came and like I was playing. They were because if I'm chilling with Nigerians, I know 95% of the music is going to be Nigerian music. It's not even going to be Kenyan music. No, it's Nigerian. Anyway, I just vibe to it because we play, with all the African continents, Nigerian music is huge.
Okay.
You know? So, and we were dancing, you know, and back home, having fun. It's like, when you have friends, you're free. There's nothing like, I'm dancing with you, but like, I'm romanticizing with you. No, it's just like this vibration of...
Yeah, the hips are moving, yeah. Everything is swaying.
I'm not thinking of anything past that. So next day, when everybody else is gone, I was so messed up. I drank a lot. So waking up, he was like this in bed. I was like, so you say you are gay, but you dance with black people. Is it, maybe you just want black dicks?
Because he was white.
I get mine is not big. And I'm like, okay. Imagine I'm even used to fingers, which if I'm to choose anything close to that, will be your dick, all right? But.
I love you so much.
I'm too vocal.
No, like, good. I fucking need this shit. Anyways.
Anyway, so we had like, for 2 weeks, he didn't speak to me. Just from work.
Fragile.
He'd sleep in the living room and then not just speak to me. And then I was like, fuck this shit. Look, you're the only family I know in this. Yeah. Like, you're the only person I know.
Yeah.
So you've got to talk to me. Mm-hmm. Like, let's solve this shit out. Like, talk to me. Like, oh, you know, the housemates feel like they don't even, they know we are married. They don't even hear us having sex. Like, yeah, because we didn't get married to have sex. You wanted lands. You wanted to go live in Africa. And marriage made it easier for you to start doing your business, whatever, back there. Mm. And for me, I just needed my freedom, which got me here. So why are you changing now? You know, and being called to me in a foreign country where I have no one to lean on except you, that's mean, you know? So yeah, we started talking after that and it's like, you can't chill with black people anymore. I was just like, okay, sure. So I just told my friends like, look, we can't chill anymore. And then I was asking him like, is it, no, actually then, after a month of that, he was like, you are changing so much. Because the thing, if I'm chilling with a lot of white people, I adapt this whole just being vocal without thinking the whole Africanness in me where I should be like, oh, shut up, you know? So I end up just expressing myself that loudly.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, you're not being the obedient person I met. You're not being... You say your thoughts a lot.
Yeah, you're not.
Okay, I will take you to a. Maybe we should check out a black club. So we went to this. What is it called? This near the well. Basement, same Crystal Basement.
Okay,
that was the first ever African experience. I went with him and I met all these Nigerians again, you know, plus so many black people. And I was like, wow. So there's so many of us. I feel at least safer. I feel a sense of home a bit. So we tried dancing. I was just with him because I didn't want problems. So I was just, I can't overdance, but I can't oversit too. Because I'll sleep in a club. That's just worse, you know. So just standing up, dancing with him. And most people would be like, come to me like, oh my God, did he adopt you from Africa? Because, you know, he was 43. I was 23. So to them, like, this is not your type. So definitely he's your stepfather. he adopted you from Africa or something.
And you're also not like, yeah, him. You don't look...
Yeah, and I just wore like jeans because I was trying not to be, like, I didn't know what to, I was out of that comfort zone where I would not just be like androgynous the way I used to be home, like Because he was like, if you're seen like this, they're going to take your work permit and you're going back home. So you have to act the part.
You have to like think of literally everything.
Yeah.
You're very aware of yourself and other people's perception of you.
Mm-hmm. And most people, because in 2 months when there's this Irish girl that came to live with us and she was like, you know, I know somebody, they were literally like, the neighbors rang the immigration on them and she had to be deported.
Wow.
You know, so I was just like, I've sacrificed so much to go to a place where I could die any day.
Mm.
If I have to play the part until I get the right help, then... Mm. Sure. I mean, even if I wear a dress, it won't change how I feel inside. Yeah. So, and most time he'd buy me dresses. Like, you know, if you try being too girly, you like men. Mm. Like, imagine it doesn't make any difference. I could be as girly as I want.
So he was still like, not trying, but he was still hoping like, don't rule out men.
Yeah. Hoping maybe the more I stay with him, the more I dress in a specific way,
yeah,
then I'll
change
stop.
Okay, I get that.
So I was just like, okay, I get what your intentions are, or rather what you're trying to prove to the world or to yourself.
Yeah.
And I am going to help you out through that road to realize that whatever, because I'm coming from a different, I'm also coming from all that people trying to change me, the worst part of it. So you that is driving me through another second phase of this experiment, just bring it, dude.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
But I'm going to secure my freedom no matter what.
He was just another roadblock, another speed bump, dare I say. Yeah.
Because for me, like, words mean a lot to me.
Yes.
Even if we develop feelings for each other, it's friendship. That's what we agreed on. If I tell you, if we decide this is what we focus on, whatever comes, work through your feelings. But that's, we gave each other our words, you know? So him trying to always divert, I was just like, no. When we'd go out, you know, even that day when we were first in Crystal Basement, you know, I met this queer person. That's like, wow. Queer person of color, that is great. And we had this amazing conversation. But then she was like, are you single? Because I'm single. And I was like, I am single. Technically, I'm single, but by law, I am not. And that, the way she drove off, like, no. Because she was like, what do you mean? I was like, okay, I am married. So technically, by law, I have a husband.
Uh-huh.
But like, this husband is aware that I like women. And she was just like, stop. This is too much for me. And by the way, just a tip, in Ireland, in this small country, never tell anybody that you're married. So, because she said the community will not accept me. You know, the whole betrayal of you've been with a man, so you're not gay enough. And I'm like, we are not even fucking imagine. We are not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, so that advice really stuck with me. I was just like, okay, but this is a community that if I am to express myself, then they should understand that some of us really sacrifice the most. Like if I look back home, most men and women are married, they have kids. But at night, they come and they're like so miserable. They come to the community. We have our secret communities. We meet up and talk about how much we have sacrificed as the LGBT people, community, you know? And they're like, this is where I feel home. When I go back to my husband, I want to kill him, you know?
Yeah.
They're so frustrated. But then when you come in these other ends and you're like, yeah, I had to do it to survive, to leave. Because do you want to reject this person or do you want to be killed? Because people constantly hold your head with, when are you getting married? We haven't seen you with a man. Like, you guys are just CCTVs. Like, focus on your life.
Please.
No, they don't.
No.
So you do the most. You can sacrifice so much that you just don't give a fuck at some point. You just do whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
So few of us that get that, whatever means, there's always this other gay people, gay men from Europe, mostly go to most African countries, they get married, help you get your paper, lesbians get them papers, and then, you know, some stay 5 years. After that, they get citizenship, they're free, you know, because that's the only mean. If you get a if, let's say, you go to Kenya, you want to marry somebody, you can't because it's illegal. You can't marry them, so they won't leave the country. You look for your brother, your cousin, or your friend to do the whole straight marriage for your girlfriend to be here,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So that's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And some will even fake that they're gay. Come, they marry you. You come here, and then you're fucked.
I heard of that. Yeah.
So there's so much people go through to get here, to get those papers.
Yes.
Even so, when they come in, they're femmes.
Mm.
After sacrificing all that, like, no.
Yeah.
You are too feminine. You can blend in. So denied. Go back again to that faking. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So...
It's like it's a win-win. It's a lose-lose. Mm-hmm. Then obviously, as in if we were to talk about it, it's like with this whole like Ireland is full and all that kind of shit and the country's
it's
changing.
It's not even full. Like
it's not full.
It has the lowest population. Like
the houses are empty. You know what I mean? And what's happening is that the investment is all in fucking Dublin mm-hmm. and no one wants to fucking move out. Me included. Considering the fucking... Like, literally, like, Malta is the 10th smallest country in the world. There's mm-hmm. not fuck all. There's a lot of opportunities. They weren't for me, right?
Yeah.
When I came here, seeing a Spotify billboard was like fucking... Like, I felt like I was in New York. I still call it New York. You know what I mean? There's no fucking way I'm leaving Dublin.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, the opportunities that I created
it's really
for myself.
Rich, it's really rich on opportunities.
It's so rich.
With a small population, there's so much room for growth.
For sure.
But then, you know, sometimes you meet these people and they're like, Ireland is full. Go back to your countries. You're taking everything. You're like, are you an engineer? No. Are you a journalist? No. So which job are you talking about? It's not even your profession. Like, and you're telling me...
Fully.
Honestly.
Like, and it's also just like they, I'm not saying they don't understand because these people are so like few and far between, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But their voices are so loud and they're doing things that are like heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's like what you don't, because they're like, we're protesting the people that are ripping up their passports and going
mm-hmm.
Or staying and all that. It's like you're not understanding or empathizing with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
100% are there people that are coming here and doing really bad things that aren't from other countries? For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go and trace any other crime in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that with these three people out of 200,
all
if
of
not
them
more,
bad.
Like that's going to do it. And it's a tough one.
Oh, these things can always be traced. Like,
always.
Look at... Where did they board these planes? Which point? And did they have the passport? If they have the passport, they, why can't they just trace where all the information in those passports from the first point they boarded these planes?
Fully.
Because from Kenya, if not all, maybe if you're put in some ship or something, but you there's no way you'd leave the airport. You'd even get in the airport without your passport. No way. Even with your passport and visa stamped on it, they'll still look like 10 times like,
yeah,
it's not fake. I was literally given the thing
yeah.
at the embassy.
Exactly.
They
exactly.
have to triple check.
Triple check. If you have a beard on, they're going to see mm-hmm. and make sure you're not a terrorist. Like, there's so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just frustrating to, like... try and not even explain to people because I got like quite a few like hate messages and stuff because
mm-hmm.
I was saying that I did this joke that people didn't find funny but I found it very funny but I also make myself laugh all the time where I was like the Ireland is full protesting outside refugee centers
mm-hmm.
it's like what how was it again it was like when you try fart and you shit yourself and you blow your nose to mm-hmm. fix the problem like go outside government. If you have a problem with it, protest outside there.
Yeah.
Use your
why
vote.
Are you
use
going
your,
to...
Why are you setting these camps on fire? You know? And the issue is that, like, these people are doing their best to try raise families. As much as you are trying to raise your family
mm-hmm.
and you're struggling, we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
The issue
and
is...
At least they are going to the IPO to actually register to get the right documentation. They're not just coming here and be like, you know what, I don't even want papers, so
yeah.
I'll do drugs, I'll sell you drugs, I'll kill
yeah.
you or whatever, I'll rape your kids. They're actually genuine people who are actually... They'd rather camp there, you know? And to get papers
and you
to
know
work.
And tell them how difficult it is to get the fucking paperwork
oh.
and how long the wait is.
Most of them would not even last... that long to get if they were the ones in that shoes. No.
If you want to do it right, you're nearly better off doing it the wrong way, nearly. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why most people just do decide, you know what, let me stay without papers. I'll do cash in hand jobs and that's that. Because you are trying to do the best, get your right papers, but somebody is telling you, what, you don't deserve that, they're burning your tents.
That's it.
So that's like, we create monsters. Mm-hmm. You come with your good intentions and somebody just turns it back to that worst person that they really want to see.
Exactly.
And not everybody is that strong to just stand all that. No.
No.
And then after they're bad, now again you're complaining. You mm-hmm. made them that person.
But you're living it up in Ireland. Send us money, you know. Give us all that. You fucking got what you deserve. Like, they don't... That's the problem, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the system is at fault in so many ways because the offices, I understand the offices have a lot of get mm-hmm. more stuff.
I've been asking that. I've been saying that since... Like,
you know what I mean? And it's not just Ireland. It's across Europe as well. I really hope that people listening... I'm not bashing on Ireland because it's a European problem. Mm-hmm. Get more stuff. If you need more heads, bring them. Take a look at your politicians mm-hmm. and take a look at their checks. You know how much money they're bringing mm-hmm. in. You know how much money their paychecks are. Fucking, like, get to 10% of a reduction. Like, I'd love to know how much the migrant officer, the minister, not even mm-hmm. the officers, because mm-hmm. I know that these people are trying their best.
Yeah.
They can't. Like, everyone is fucking dead.
Yeah, you but know? They can't have even a system where, okay, if somebody has every documentation, why wait for a year or two if you have the right ones?
Yeah.
So create a system where the people with all everything needed, you know, be served. The people with some of the papers follow second. The ones with zero, nothing, ripped passport, they flashed it.
Exactly.
Then they can decide.
Yeah.
You know? That mm-hmm. way you don't create all that traffic jam.
You have an express service and then you have the special cases and it's a fucking spectrum. Like, it sounds so simple, and I'm sure that people that are working in it, it's like, it's more complicated. Like, yes, of course. And context matters for everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, take a look at the way it's being done. And I say this for so many systems. Mm-hmm. It's like... something was set up in 2004 or 2008 mm-hmm. and it's just not looked at ever again. And there's all these students that are getting all these fundings with amazing PhDs mm-hmm. and all that and all this
they
research.
Can intern also if they don't want to pay more uh-huh, people then uh-huh. they can intern to get more experience.
Exactly.
You know?
But it's like there's so many people that mean well and are getting the research mm-hmm. and doing everything and it's just collecting dust over in the bookcase of the university rather than getting these people and actually allowing them the opportunity to improve the system, mm-hmm. you know? Because mm-hmm. they're there.
Yeah.
They want to. But the only opportunity that they get is to fucking lecture and put these other students into debt, which is not their fault, again, because, again, we all need to make our money, so mm-hmm. it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. But they're putting more students into debt so that we all have the same fucking master's degree. And, like... find a job at the university. It's like, shit.
It's not just the university that exists. Like, there's life outside university.
I know.
You know?
I know. It's, And again, like, I'm not even the one, like, with the EU. Like, I was so lucky with all of this where all I had to deal with was I don't like constantly having to, like, go out and choose between burger, pizza and fried chicken. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I miss food. I miss Mediterranean food. Mm-hmm. And I, like... miss my like tan, you know,
mm-hmm,
like
yeah.
you know what a like my problems are so silly, you know, where my butt cheeks, like I lost my I lost my bikini tan line because mm-hmm. we used to have a permanent one, and that was like my butt cheeks and my thighs are the same color. I'm like, where the fuck is, like, this is all one, you know, like before it was, so that's what I had to do with.
Wow, that's
thank
a simple
you.
Problem.
You're welcome. We're all sharing.
I have to deal with buying extra, using my extra money to buy sunscreen because apparently Irish weather gives me all those sunburns. Like, what's going on? Like, back home, I just sit in the sun, lay there for as long as I want. By here, 10 minutes in the sun, my face is like, this is the new face of black. Like, this is black blue.
Rihanna needs to come out with a new foundation.
I swear.
Oh my God, no. But it's fucking crazy. It's like, it's
mad. It's interesting and funny and sad at the same time.
Like, life needs color. And it needs,
it's
like,
it's definitely giving the color.
It's something else. Like, but yeah, like, my problem, not even my problem, but whenever we have these like whole discussions, mm-hmm. you know, and like very serious ones, mm-hmm. it always goes like, well, what now, you know? Like, it's shit, you know, but like, here I am smiling. And I feel like that's like the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of it. That's life,
yeah.
You know? But I do think that the good thing about being a migrant is that, like, it gives you these shades, you know. You complain, but you love it. It's like the love-hate relationship. Like,
it's a new one.
Like, you are annoying.
Mm.
You're telling me to go back, but I love. Like, yeah. There's nothing I can do to you. But, know. You know, I just wish you'd listen. But you're just an idiot. Right? And yeah. In from love, you know.
Exactly. It's like And I get that quite a bit, you know, and I do hold back on certain things because, mm-hmm. like, I don't want it to come off so bad. But it's like, the longer you stay here, the more you see the flaws of mm-hmm. it. It's like staying with someone and, like, I understand, like, what your, not even your pros and cons, but, like, it's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no perfect country.
Yeah, none.
And I think that's the thing where, like, wherever you go, it's like, oh, America should be better than this. And
it can be better. We still need that balance of good and bad. I mean, we don't need it, but it exists. There's nothing we can do about
wherever
it.
Wherever humans will go,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? That's it. And I think it's like people that are so opposed against, like, losing the national culture, losing all of that. It's like,
I think the biggest problem is that most people do think that if they allow a lot of people to come to their countries, their culture, their heritage will be like diminished or something.
Mm.
But I do say, okay, like, coming to Ireland, based on what I share, good and bad, because I do say I just can't share good. Oh, Irish people are good. This thing. The thing is, somebody else might come, experience different kinds of not so good, like, advertised, and be like, okay, I have to speak about that. Mm. I have to say something, because if only I was told this, perhaps.
The shock to the system is significant. Like, mm-hmm. I remember moving here. Now, I moved here by myself. Like, mm-hmm. I had no, all I knew about Ireland was, like, Irish people, you mm-hmm. know, like, are nice, like, the global thing, which they are. But I was like, am I alone? Like I was, all my experiences that were really hard, I felt like I was the problem, you mm-hmm. know, rather than just understanding that, no, look, not every Irish person is gonna be nice.
No.
And that's the reality of it.
And I don't get why they most get so mad when you say, when you speak about the negative sides of things.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's like, an outside voice, and it's like, well, if you have a problem with it, go back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's
like,
just,
it's not just about going back. I could go back, but the thing is, to build something, or rather to grow,
mm.
I think, most times I do think that this whole problem will never go away, because everywhere in the world, we are taught to suppress things, be the good character.
Yeah.
And never speak about the bad.
Mm. True.
Be it at home, when you have guests, you have to behave a specific way, be the good child, you know, everything is flowing. You're not going to say how your daddy was beating your mom yesterday night, or something, or how your brother 100%. Is a thief, or whatever. Yes. No, you know? So whenever somebody from outside comes, let's say you're the adopted kid that comes, like, your son is a thief. She's like, you're not my kid, you know? Because they want to protect, to pretend that these people are so good. But sometimes talking about that bad thing in somebody is what makes them actually be better people. Because people don't like shame. If you say, look, like even with friend groups, right? I do say, if I am friends with you and there's somebody new and maybe you're being racist towards them or whatever, discriminating them, I'll be like, look, I love you, you're my friend, but you suck at this. This was wrong and you have to apologize.
Yeah.
I'll call you out in public and it will, you'll feel so ashamed that you'll never repeat that to anybody else. That is helping you grow. Mm. But if I just say, oh, we've known each other for years, I know you enough to know your good parts and the bad sides. And sometimes some people can be a dick and they have to know you're dickheads.
Yeah.
You know? And that will help them grow.
Mm.
But hugging people with their badness, if you see a room for them to grow in the name of protecting something, no, that's not somebody that wants the best for you.
Yeah. It's that no bullshit tolerance. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the... Like, something that I've been told to me, especially, like, in the business sector and stuff, is that, like, you're very intense, you know? You're very... or rude or blunt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem that I had, like, probably up until a few months ago, where I had to come to a decision where it's, like... Because I'm all for when I go into a country, when I step foot into a country... I have zero expectations for this country to adapt to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to adapt to them. The country.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, if I keep hearing this, am I the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And I had to like really reflect on it and be like, you know what? I know I'm nice. I know I'm a good person.
Mm-hmm.
Me not kissing your ass
mm-hmm.
because you're making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Is not my problem.
Yeah, it's not that you're declaring that you're a threat or whatever, but it's 50-50. Like, I get you, yeah. I respect your culture, but wanting me to just adapt to even the negative things, if we can collectively work towards bettering it, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Aha. That was the thing for me. And that's where I made that decision, like mm-hmm. that like little decision of... You know what? Now, not even now is the time to do me, but like there's going to be a turning point in my life where like I'm either going to be unapologetically
yourself,
myself,
mm-hmm.
and whoever comes, whoever doesn't,
mm-hmm.
saws fuck you, like you're not even your loss, because that's weird, but it's like you do you, like I respect you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been so much better.
Yeah,
it's been so much better.
Because us licking can get you. Can mess you up.
It can.
You know, when I came here, I remember the first NGO that reached out to me, they were like, you just do your own thing. At that time, I was just like, because when I was moving, I was like, you know what, if activism is what made me, like, made my life sort of way harder than most, because most people knew me,
yeah.
and it... I'd pass in the streets like, you are the girl on the Instagram, on Facebook. So I was like, if life is going to give me a second chance, then fuck activism. I'll just go to this country, live like any normal human being. I'll just use my platforms and to do my stuff, learn how to dance, because I sucked at that, you know, do whatever different crazy sides of me, you know. So I was just doing my own thing. Anytime I'd go to a new place, take a picture, a video, dance, whatever. And this NGO came to me like, you know, you're the first black person we see. You just do you. You're just like, you like, you're very brave and just embracing your androgynous side. We haven't seen that in a while in this country. And I was just like, thank you. And they were like, would you mind, you know, volunteering to work with us, you know, just represent, you know, give hope to these black people who are still afraid to, you know, come out of the closets, you know, and all that. And I was like, sure, why not? But as long as I'm doing me.
Yeah.
So working with this and then got exposure to different NGO groups. And before I knew it, I was like, no, people are changing me. Because it came to a point where, like, you can't say this. It's too strong. Like, it's too bold. Irish people, you know, we are two-faced. We, like, we kiss you. And yeah, we bite
they,
and
they
kiss
admit
you.
It. You know? They admit it.
So I was like, okay. All my life, I've been very expressive. Like, if it's wrong, it's wrong. There's no shades of gray there. It's so what if I'll end up, like, I can't do it.
It's so, like, I find it, like, respectful, you know, because, like, back home, it's like, there is that two-facedness and all that, but it's like, no, it doesn't happen, you know? Over here, at least, you know who you're sleeping with. It's like, look, like, they tell you, they're like, listen, you know, like, this is how we are. Like, you can do this over here, but not over there. It's like, oh, okay, I don't like it. I respectfully will not partake, but I respect you for telling me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
At least you have that. It's true.
All, like, my grandma was very, like, straightforward with us, right? She raised like 8 grandkids.
Wow.
Well, their mothers were in the cities, you know, working and sending us school fees so we can at least be normal students, not lack anything. So the way she raised us, she was like if you're my friend, you're coming for the first time in our home state. And she'd be like, you see this one? This one, I doubt you'll even make anything out of. This one, just... don't mess with that. This lies a lot. This one, like, you are told both the good and the bad. So you know exactly, look, this is what I've got. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm coming with.
Yeah.
Good and bad. Mm-hmm. And we are growing every day. Mm-hmm. So I grew with that mindset of it's okay to talk about, to say your bad sides and the good side without feeling any sort of shame. Mm-hmm. Like, we are all human beings. So we are growing.
Yeah.
So it gave me this advantage of always speaking out my mind. Because... mm-hmm. She used to tell us that first thought that people say is always the most honest one. If you think about it, then you'll rephrase how it should come to please this person, which won't really be right. You might be like, what's it called? Considering people's feelings, you know, not hurting somebody's feelings. Yeah, just that you're a dickhead, really, you know? And but you're good in this aspect. So if you do this, it might balance the two to make you a better person.
Yeah.
You know,
it's treating people like they're made of glass, you know,
and
now you do see that like sway of like from snowflake to full on hate speech, you know, and like, it's just like we have this and now we have that. And it's like, fucking hell, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's so true.
Yeah.
It's like, don't treat people with glass. I feel like, sorry, with glass, like they're made of glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's nearly like... like, the way I see it, treating people like they're made of glass is nearly disrespect to them, because I feel like I think they're weak.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be treated like I'm made of glass, because I'm strong, you know? Like, I can do it.
Like, hit me with the truth so that I can actually know, yeah.
Yeah, and I always say it to people as well, because I'm very aware of the way I speak as well. So I do tell them, I'm like, listen, if you think otherwise... like, don't mind me. I blame it on my accent sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm sounding rough and blunt, but tell me, like, we can battle it out right now, you know? Because I want to know where you are at.
Mm-hmm.
Let's battle it out. But I'm not a confrontational or fighty type of person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, let's figure out where we're gonna meet.
Yeah.
And that's like where the good friendships are.
Yeah.
I'm not saying where the arguments are and all that, because I fucking hate that shit. I hate it like no other. But be real.
Yeah. Try to like show that I'm telling you the 9, you're telling me the 6, but now I have to understand why you're seeing a 9.
Yeah.
And I have to understand why you're seeing a 6.
That's perfect. That's it. And that's the name behind this fucking podcast called Take Two. Like, I want to understand where you're coming from as well. So that I just feel like I get smarter. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, getting things from different perspectives actually elevates you. Because you're there stuck with your own mindset. And then you're like, wait, what? Oh, so that's why you're reasoning like that's great. You know, so you have this chain of bond, this bond.
Yeah.
You get each other. It might be different experiences, but you understand the reasons as to why.
Yeah. I think one of my, I don't know if it's a quote, but it's like, I disagree with you, but I'm listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where we're like losing it, where it's like, I disagree with you, so I don't want to hear you out. It's like, agree to disagree is the most stupid and limiting concept in my mind, where it's like, no, Let's hear each other out so that we can both benefit. Because then, like that, the moment that this conversation or this topic is brought up ever again, I can go, all right, I remember what she said or he said. And you can take... You can take all these lessons and all these fucking experiences and you become richer.
Yeah.
You know? And hopefully...
You're at least aware
exactly
that this happens, you know?
And that's why I think agree to disagree is, like, silly. Because you just go, like... You just end it. And...
The other day... Like, the other day, I was... My friends were, like... So, South Africans, Irish friends, Spanish friends. We were just sitting and, like... On Thursday, and they were like, you know, since we've finished work, why can't we go to Spain? And one of my friends from South Africa, she's still waiting for her refugee passport.
Okay.
And then she was like, you guys, you do realize that not of us can just, or not all of us can just wake up like, yes, let's go somewhere to apply for visa, you know? And I was like, I mean, we got really deep and we were talking about how it's important if you're making friends from different diverse groups, you have to talk about the uncomfortable conversations. Because, like, sometimes you, like, maybe you're traveling and then one person is going to be pulled back, like, you know, some discrimination and of some sort, pulled back. So you'll be like, should we wait for this person because we were going together? Or should we just go and you'll find us? But then if we leave the person, it's going to be harder on them than if we use whatever power we've got to get them out of there, you know? So most, like, and one of my Spanish friends were like, yeah, you know, he was sharing how he dated a girl from Ghana. And when they were coming to Europe, she had to, like, she was stopped for like 4 hours. Her stuff was being checked and like, and he just left. And I was like, how would you do that? You had to use your privilege to be like, this is my girlfriend, you know? And she's with me. Yeah. These are our documents because you have the same documents. The visa is there. Everything.
Fuck me. Even just stay outside the room or in the same. You know what I mean? Like
some just go. Go. Like, oh, we'll meet you. You'll find us at the hotel. Are you kidding me?
I've heard it so often. Like going into a club as a group and like the black. It never happened to me. So like this is my friends telling me. But like. The black friend of the group needed, God bless, two forms of identity. Ooh. And was also the drunkest and wasn't allowed into the club. And like, they go in and one person stays
out. That happens
out,
a lot, especially if the friend is wearing this chain, thuggish kind of look. Oh.
Exactly. But it is those kind of stuff where like you don't, people don't understand the things. Again, I was so surprised that sometimes I was being questioned or my COVID passport was not like believed to be where I needed to show certain things, let alone other people. Does that make like, and it's when you open up the debate of, oh, but they mean well, oh, they're doing their job, that is where, like, I was talking to Leon and he was like, being anti-racist is not enough.
Yeah.
It's actually saying that, not even saying that you're against it, but actually going out of your way and recognizing certain things. Fuck me, if you don't want to be confrontational with the bouncer, at least be there for your friend.
Yeah.
Even just being like, I saw that and I'm with
you. It's not right because I was treated, why are you treating me like this? And that
even
reminds me
someone,
of the day
crazy.
There's a time we went to Brown Thomas in the city center and... I like dressing up. Like, if I can't go out looking, that's just, like, I just like clothes, right?
Oh, yeah. But if my people are listening, fab outfit, by the way. Like, you're missing out. Watch it on YouTube. Carry
but
on.
My partner do not. She's simple, right?
Yeah.
So, she's one person who'd be like, I'm going out in a pajama. I don't care. You know? So, that day we went to Brown Thomas and she wasn't dressed up. I was. So, she was in front. And then this bouncer comes like, he was following her everywhere, thinking she's gonna steal something. Oh, you can't afford this.
Yeah.
So I was just like, no. I never keep quiet. I've never been known to keep quiet. I talk the talk. I see something wrong, I'm going to say something. So I'm like, excuse me, sir. Why are you following this woman? Like, oh, no, it's fine. I got it. I got this. It's fine. You go shopping. Like, she is my girlfriend. What do you mean? Like, really? Hey, you and you?
Yeah, like.
You're dressing like this, just dressing like that. Like, what?
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, again. Again. As in, it surprises me that certain things are still happening till this day.
It's mad, and it's 21st century.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Why, though? Like.
But are you. I don't know, like, without touching on the topics of personally having kids, like, do you think the upcoming generation or the next generation mm-hmm. are good? Or, like, are safe? Because, like, I'm excited to raise kids because I'm like, fucking hell, like, mm-hmm. with this juicy brain, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And this level of empathy, like, mm-hmm. I'm excited, you know, mm-hmm. to, like, see where they're going to come from.
I think it'll be better. Mm-hmm. The coming generation are going to be better than our parents, great-grandparents, whatever. But then again, it depends on where you raise them.
Who?
Because if it's reserved places, then there'll be definitely that indoctrination because they have to go to school, they have to socialize with these kind of people that are going to make them or indoctrinate mm-hmm. them to feel or act or behave a certain way.
Yeah, and I feel like it's getting the other side, both spectrums are mm-hmm. getting stronger because mm-hmm. it's like then the far right or whatever are very much like, oh, we're a dying breed now. Mm-hmm. You know what I
mean?
Like
yeah.
It's getting nearly like, oh, the gays are coming. You know what I mean?
And uh-huh. the population is going to just be like...
Uh-huh. Like the church is falling apart. You know, the gays, everyone's gay. Like
there's this theory that in Africa that the West is trying to support the LGBT from people from Africa to reduce the population.
Oh yeah,
and I'm just like, okay, I can have kids. It doesn't mean that now that I like women, my eggs will suddenly disappear.
Yeah,
like some really do want a family. You know, sick sperm donors, those who can't afford, just go for that nightstand and get fucked and get the kids. Let's be realistic. Yeah, not all can afford that.
Oh,
all
I remember going on a TikTok
thing.
Where someone was saying, she's like. Okay. I forgot how she was. She was a lesbian, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, unpopular opinion, but mm-hmm. starting a family as in a starting an LGBT family doesn't need to be expensive. Apparently there's a bunch of guys in like Facebook groups that are ready to spread their seed.
Definitely, because even growing like back home, right, whenever you meet this lesbian couples, queer couples, whatever, and you're like, do you want to have kids someday? And like, yeah, we'll have a sperm insemination. And like, do you realize how much that is? Like, you can barely pay rent, which is like, what you think you...
Fully. Like, that costs like, 30 grand.
Most
like,
people
that's
get
a
so...
house deposit. Mm-hmm. Most of them getting married, like having the big weddings. I was like, guys, fully. As in, if I want to get married right now or start off, I need to think about... Do we need to get married? Because then it's like, all right, weddings are costing God knows
very
how much.
Expensive.
And also, like, this is the whole debate. So mm-hmm. with me and weddings, it's like either I elope mm-hmm. or we're having a big ass celebration and I'm performing. You know, like it's a performance. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Then house, in this housing crisis, there's mm-hmm. house deposit one, actual house deposit. Then you have a house deposit for just hopefully having a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, hopefully pregnancy and everything comes out right with 10 fucking... fingers and 10 toes, because then you have to raise a kid and those are pricey.
That's expensive as hell.
Yeah. So, God, like...
somebody wants to give you free spams and you're like, yeah, no, you know, like, I'm a lesbian. I'll be judged. Yeah, I'm like, going to go for insemination. Uh-huh. You can barely afford Colgate. You can't even brush your teeth. You're broke.
Yeah, like you're not even getting the branded Red Bull cans. You're getting Kong Strong from Lidl.
You know, like, let's be realistic. Like...
So I think from this whole entire discussion is, again, we're fucked.
Very.
Yeah, and the world is ending and God knows what the fuck is happening, but mm-hmm. we're
strong. I think like if I'm to add something here, like based on family and stuff, I think that a lot of people say that the whole insemination, sperm donor, whatever, because the fear of the straight view that if you admit you fucked a guy, to them, you have gone straight.
You're tainted, yeah.
It's not the sacrifice of getting the sperm because you need a goddamn baby.
Yeah, they forgot about
that. No, like, all my days, I'm sure if you tell your parents tomorrow, I'm going to fuck that guy to get a kid, like, yes, she has done. Finally, God has answered my prayers. Like, no, God hasn't given me enough money to go for insemination, so I'm going the raw way, which is
the
cheap.
Wrong prayer. You know? But again, like, oh, that's funny. I really enjoyed this chat.
It was great.
It was
I've laughed. I've laughed so much. I feel I have 6 packs now. Yeah, I'm ready for
bikini. Yeah, exactly.
Bikini.
We're going to need something. Thank you so much for joining me again. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
That was amazing.
Cheers. And thank you everyone for listening and watching. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. That was good.